Well, good morning. It's that time of year, right? That time of year where everybody seems focused on one day, one place, one thing. I mean, we're preparing for it now. We're going out and we're buying stuff for it. We're planning family get-togethers. Our kids are making lists, and we're checking them off and marking things out that are way too expensive. But why are we all focused on that day? You know, it seems like our whole world is focused on that one day. Why is that? See, I think it's all about the story. I think it's all about the story that's being told. That story that probably most of us know. You know, I would even guess that maybe as much as 98% of us in this room know most of the story. But I bet there's some of us in this room that don't know all of the story. And maybe you're here today and maybe you're only here because somebody promised to buy you lunch afterwards. Maybe you don't buy into this whole church thing, this whole God thing. Maybe the only thing you like about Christmas, the only thing you get about it is, hey, I get some cool presents. And that's okay. We're glad you're here. See, we're going to be retelling this story. We're going to take the next few weeks and we're going to retell the story from the beginning to the end. And hopefully you're going to hear something that's going to help you in your life. Hopefully you're going to hear something that's going to be mind-changing for you, that's going to be life-changing for you. And so as we think about this story, this greatest story ever told, I mean, to tell a story that spans the entire Bible, we're going to have to look at a lot of verses. And there is no way that I'm going to read that many and I'm going to put that many on the screen. And so at the end today, we're going to give you a keyword that you can text in and you can get a link to a PDF that's going to have all the verses that I'm going to reference today. Some of them I'm not even going to tell you that I'm referencing them, but if you look through that, you'll see them. You'll find them. Because we want to retell this story. This story that most of us know, or at least think we know. But how do we do that? How do we tell such a huge, awesome story? How can we do that? Well, see, I think we can use something that we're familiar with. Because we probably all have gotten some of these, or will get some of these Christmas cards. And I think Christmas cards are interesting because they all have a story. Maybe it's just a family photo in there. Maybe there's a letter that you get. Maybe it's just a picture on the front. Maybe it's just some words. Whatever it is, that card has a story. That card is there to help us understand something. And so we're going to take some cards and we're going to look at the story that goes all the way back, the story that we think we all know. And so we're going to look at this first card that I have here. And maybe you're looking at that and you think to yourself, what does a person holding some fruit have to do with this story? It has everything to do with this story. This is where the story begins. You see, our story begins at the point before anything was created. At the point where God was there and said, you know what, I want to make some things. I want to create some beings that are going to worship me, that are going to be with me, they're going to have a relationship with me because they want to. because they have free choice. And so God began the process of creating the universe and the stars and the planets. And then he created the earth and he created the water and the land and the trees and the plants and the animals. And then he created human beings. He created this guy named Adam and this girl named Eve. And he put them in a garden. And they had a great relationship. And he said, you can eat anything in the garden but that one type of fruit. That one tree you can't eat from. Well, many of us in this room know that they ate from the tree. Eve went and took a piece of fruit and ate it, and then she took it to Adam and gave it to Adam, and Adam ate it. And then later that day, God came and said, hey, what's going on? There's a problem. Adam, why did you eat the fruit? And he said, hey, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't eat the fruit. It wasn't my fault. It was that woman that you made and gave me. It was her fault. And Eve said, whoa. It was not my fault. It was that serpent's fault that came and tempted me and lied to me. You see, Satan had come and taken the form of a serpent and had tempted and led Eve astray to eat the fruit. And God said, okay. But you got to leave the garden. And I'm going to cause there to be hostility between the offspring of this woman and you, Satan. In fact, there's going to be one offspring that's going to come and he's going to crush your head. See, that was the beginning of it all. This was the beginning of our story. That was the point that we as human beings could no longer have a relationship with the creator of the universe because we had messed up. We had messed up. And you see, those two, Adam and Eve, they went out of the garden and they began to multiply. They had a family and their kids had families and their families had families and so forth and so on until there were lots and lots of people on earth. And those people began to stray from God. Those people began to go away from God. And God said, I can't have this. This isn't how I want this to go. And so I'm going to wipe out everything I created. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to take them off the face of the planet. But then he found one guy. He found one guy. His name was Noah. He found this one guy that was still trying to follow him in the midst of all this evilness, in the midst of all this wickedness. And he said, okay, Noah, you need to build a boat, a huge boat, because I'm going to save you and I'm going to save your kids and I'm going to save your kids' wives. And I'm going to send animals to you, Noah, so that you can save the creatures that I've created. And then I'm going to wipe out the earth with a flood. And that's what happened. God wiped it out. You see, we sometimes think, hey, you know what? All of us came from Adam and Eve, but more specifically, all of us came from this guy named Noah and his wife. Because it all started over right there. The story restarts. You see, all of those people that got off that ark, they went and they had families, and their families had families, and their families had families, and again the earth is populated, and there's this one guy again. And his name is Abraham. And God tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I want to change the world with your family. I want you to bless every person on earth. That's what I want you to do, Abraham. So Abraham had a single son. His name was Isaac. A single son with his wife Sarah. His name was Isaac. And Isaac had a son whose name was Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And they became the 12 tribes of Israel. Not those 12 kids, but those 12 kids' families became the nation of Israel. And there was this one son. His name was Judah. And his family founded this city. This city that, what we see on cards a lot, city that looks like this. That's our classic, iconic, ancient Middle Eastern city. But this city becomes the focal point, the center of everything that happens in the Bible. This city becomes immensely important. And that's where Judah's family was years and years and years after Judah died. And there was a guy that lived in that city, again, one guy. His name was Jesse. And Jesse had a bunch of kids, but he had one kid that most of us might recognize his name. His name is David. And if you don't recognize just David, you might recognize this phrase, David and Goliath. That David. That David lived in this town, lived in this city. And that David took out the giant that day. And that's why we remember him. But we remember him for something else as well. Because David became king of Israel. He became the king, the second king, the greatest king, King David. And David was a great king. And after David was gone, his son became king. And then things started going south. And just a couple of generations after David, the nation of Israel split. This was still the epicenter. This was still the focal point. This little town. Even though it was split, but not long after it split, they were taken over. These other countries came in, these other kingdoms, these other empires came in and took the people of Israel captive and took them away and made them be slaves and took them away from their homeland, took them away from the city. And they are there. They are in bondage. They are in captivity. They are stuck. And they begin to cry out to God, God, please save us. God, please rescue us from captivity. Please rescue us from slavery. God, please bring us back to Israel and give us a new king. And so God says, okay, I will send you a new king. I will send you a new king. And then I guess the thought was, how will they know when the king arrives? Because right now they don't have a mechanism to put a king in place. They don't have a monarchy that's ruling and, hey, it's just going to be the next son that's born that's going to be king. How are they going to know? And so they have these guys called prophets. And these prophets, guys like Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote this book. And on this card, it has a verse. It says Isaiah 40, verse 3. And it basically says, hey, guess what? The king, the new king is coming, and you will know who he is because of some things that happened before he shows up. And in this verse, it says there's going to be somebody that comes ahead of him that begins to say, hey, the new king is coming. Hey, the king is coming. Get prepared for him. Get ready. The king is coming. There's going to be a messenger. See, that's what Isaiah was doing. Isaiah was saying, hey, this is how you're going to know when the new king is here. But Isaiah wasn't the only prophet. There were a lot of prophets. And they said a lot of things about this new king. In fact, they gave us 353 at least things to be able to point out and know who the new king was. That they told us, hey, he's coming. He's going to be born in that city. That city that's the focal point, that city that is important, that city that is the epicenter of everything, he's going to be born in that city. They said, hey, he's going to be born of a young woman. He's going to be born of a virgin. They said, hey, this is what are some things that he's going to say. Hey, here's some things that he's going to do. Here's some things that he's going to look like. Here's some things that are going to happen to him. This is what's going to happen. And the reason that God told us all of these things is so that we could point and go, oh, that's the king. That's the new king. Because there's no way that it could just be a coincidence that somebody fulfilled 353 prophecies. But what does that have to do with us? See, we have the hindsight to go back and look at these prophecies and go, okay, I see how that works. I get that. I understand that. We have that ability, but they didn't at that time. You know, in fact, they didn't even have the ability, most of them, to read these prophecies. They didn't have the ability to read this story. It wasn't until about just 400 years ago that most people in the English-speaking world could read this thing called the Bible, because it wasn't in a language that we could understand. There's still places in the world today where they can't read the whole Bible because it's not in the language that they speak and read. And so people began to just tell the story. They just told the story. They just said, hey, this is what's happening. Hey, this is what happened. Hey, this is what's to come. They just told the story. But why? Why did they tell the story? See, I think they told the story because it gave them hope. They were in captivity. They were slaves. And God said, I'm going to send a new king. I'm going to send a new king. Now, most of us are not in captivity. Most of us have never been and will never be slaves. Most of us will never experience another country coming in and conquering us. Most of us will not experience any of that. But I suspect that all of us will be conquered by something in our lifetime. All of us will have something that holds us captive. And I think we can learn from these folks that were anticipating this new king. You see, I don't know what it is that holds you captive. But I have a general idea of how it came about. Because most of the time, the things that hold us captive are the bad choices that we make. They're the bad choices that other people make. They're the things that are beyond our control. They are wrong ideas that we uphold. They are wrong philosophies that we live by. And those things hold us captive. Those things put us into slavery. And it puts us in the same place, in the same position that the Israelites were in. It puts us into that place where we are in bondage and we need to begin to call out and say, God, we need that king. We need that one that you're going to send, that one that's going to rescue us, that's going to take us out of slavery. God, how can we do that? And that's where these people were. They were sitting in slavery and crying out to God. Crying out to God. And so God continued to tell them things and continued to prepare them. And when I think about how we can learn from them, I think about one verse. I think about one verse when it comes to this new king. I'm going to put this verse up on the screen for you because I want you to get it. I want you to see it. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. And it says this. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called a mighty God." A mighty God. See, this is what they thought of when they thought about a mighty God.